report from the doctor telling you that the cancer was gone. Somebody praise him like you believe that God's going to do the work, that God's going to provide the provision. In the name of Jesus, God, we praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. Come on, one more time. Why don't you clap your hands to God? Somebody shout to heaven. Somebody magnify Jesus. That's it. That's it. The presence of God is here. Praise God. Look at somebody next to you and tell him it's good to see you in the house of God tonight. Does anybody have the victory tonight? Anybody walking in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost? Anybody have an expectation that God's going to do something great before we leave this house tonight? Praise God. If you're sitting next to somebody that you don't know, why don't you greet them really quickly? If you're a guest in the house, we're so glad that you're here. Make yourself at home when you're here. Come on, shake somebody's hand if you're standing next to them and you don't know them. Tell them who you are. Tell them that it's good to see them in God's house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to be in John chapter 18 and verse 1 and Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. John chapter 18 and verse 1, Acts 6 and 8. Praise God. I know tonight that I am standing in between you and a very, very, very well-prepared meal. So I will make a deal with you tonight. If you will help me preach, I won't say anything that the Holy Ghost doesn't want me to say. Praise God. Anybody going to help me preach tonight? Praise God. I'll make a deal with you. We'll stop and eat when the Holy Ghost is done if you will help me get to that point sooner rather than later. So I need somebody tonight that came with an expectation that God's going to speak, that God's going to move, that something's going to happen before we leave this house tonight. Praise God. John chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. And then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword in thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus, and everybody say, they bound him. In Acts chapter 6, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them Cilicia of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. I want to preach for just a few moments on this subject. The paradox of preaching bound. The paradox of preaching bound. Why don't you put your Bible down and lift up your hands and your heart to heaven? God, we love you. We worship you. We exalt you, God. I pray in the next few moments in this service that you would minister to your people, God. I pray that you would anoint the hearer, God, anoint the speaker, God. Do a great work in this place, and we'll give you the glory for it, the honor and the praise. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. Come on, one more time before you're seated. Clap your hands and lift up a shout of praise. Somebody magnify Jesus. We worship you. We exalt your name, Jesus. We praise you. Praise God. You can be seated in the presence of God tonight. This morning we took for a text Psalms chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And we talked about the name is Jesus, and the glory is Jesus. And out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, or perfected praise because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. So this is the seed in Genesis chapter 3 and 15 and Psalms 149 that is going to rise up and resist the adversary, the conflict that is present in the earth. From the very beginning, there is a war. There is a conflict, and this promise was reiterated to Abraham that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He goes on to say, when I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit with him? You've made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and with honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. And so the writer here is looking up to heaven, and he's viewing the majesty of God. And then he's looking down to the earth, and he's viewing humanity, and he is seeing this relationship of above and beneath, and heaven and earth. And he is reconciling the things happening above with the things happening beneath. And this is a process that the kingdom of God and the preaching of the word of God is constantly reorienting us towards, that God has some things that are happening in heaven that are affecting the physical world. And as we explored this morning, as we looked through the word of God in Genesis chapter 1, we looked at the fact that the word of God set everything into motion. That is, by the power of God, the Spirit of God overshadowed the water. And then God began to speak, and the fish emerged, and the dry land emerged, and the created world emerged. Everything that is in the world emerged out of the word of God. And then we, as we follow the story, we see that humanity also, as an extension of the creation, God speaks to man, and he says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And so in the process of time, humanity is going to emerge as well. But here's the deal. Everything else in the created order emerges forth out of the word of God. God speaks to humanity, and he says, let us make man in our image. But it would be in Genesis chapter 2 gives us the nuts and the bolts of it. It shows us how God, when he begins to look at man and he begins to idealize man by his word, the word by itself did not cause man to emerge, but that God got down on his hands and his knees, and he shaped man, and he formed man, and he put on the inside of man the capacity to hear the word of God and to capture the word of God. And he put inside of humanity this God-shaped void that desires the Spirit of God. And so the word all by itself did not cause man to emerge, but God, the Creator, begins to do the meticulous work of crafting and shaping humanity to become the vessel of God. And what that speaks to us about tonight is the idea that no matter what knowledge that you seek for in in the physical world, no matter how much education you get, there is a logos, there is a concept of God that you desire. Your mind is shaped for God. Your spirit is shaped for God. That no matter what you find in life, you'll never find anything in life that satisfies the mind's desire to know God. That no matter what you find in life, you will never find anything that satisfies the human need to be in relationship with God. I've just come to tell somebody here tonight that God made you with his hands to know him in spirit and in truth. That God crafted you for relationship with him. And that's why when you come into the house of God and they begin to worship and sing and praise God, something in the atmosphere begins to compel you. Even though you don't understand it ideologically yet, something in your mind tells you, I want to know more about God. And something in your spirit begins to draw you toward the presence of God. God, his plan for humanity was not the same as his plan for all of the other physical world, because humanity would not only be sustained by the word of God like everything else in the physical world, but there was something in humanity there was something in God's creation of man that would cause the word of God to live in the inside of our mind and flow out of our spirit. And as we begin to do that, we're not just being affected by everything else in the world. The wind responds to God, and the ocean responds to God, and the trees respond to the presence and word of God, and they do his bidding. But there is something about humanity that when God made you, he made you to participate with him. He made you with the capacity to pull down the word of God and possess it in your mind. And he made you with the creative capacity to co-create with him. You're not just the victim of what's happening in your world, but you are a causal force in the world around you. You are the repository of the word and the spirit of God. Praise God. Praise God. We come forth from the word of God, but the word also exists within us and flows out of us, and we begin to participate with God in creation, not just in procreation, not just in creating a physical seed, but also in establishing the kingdom of God in the earth, also bringing about causal change in the earth, also creating the environment. I know some people feel like you're just the product of the environment that you come out of, but I'm here to tell you that when God made you, he didn't just make you to be affected by the place you came from, but God made you to be an effector of the place. I'm just here to tell you, you're not just waiting on somebody to create an environment where change can happen, but change can start on the inside of you. If you can receive a word from God and you can mix it with the elixir of faith and cause something to happen, I'm telling you that you can be the epicenter of a great revival. You, young person, can be the person that turns your world upside down. Praise God. That's the power of being a worshiper. That's the power of prophecy. That's the power of coming into the house of God. And I'm not going to stop and focus on the way you dress tonight too much. But I'm just going to tell you, that's one of the reasons why we get dressed up for church. Because I've seen it in my life. That when I don't come with an expectation, it starts at home. It starts in your prayer closet. When you begin to think, man, the most important business happening in my life today is what's going to happen in that church service. The most important business that's happening today is what's going to happen when the people of God come together. So I'm going to put on my best clothes and I'm going to come to the house of God. What that does is that programs your mind to think, when we get there, something is going to happen. I'm not coming casually to the house of God. I'm coming. Now listen, if you came from work, baby, come from work. But I'm just here to tell you, there's got to be something, an expectation that's down on the inside of you that said, when we get to the house of God, something's going to change. I'm telling you, there's got to be something that begins to say, revival's going to happen tonight. Somebody's going to get healed tonight. Somebody's going to be delivered tonight. The captive can be set free tonight. That power is on the inside of me. That dream, that vision is living on the inside of me. Praise God. Praise God. The Logos is hidden within us, a seed of a promise, and we begin to speak it. And that's why the Bible said that life and death is in the power of the tongue. That something happens. Now, I'm gonna jump ahead because I'm preaching to the church tonight. I'm gonna jump ahead. You know you need the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. Because of the fall, your emotions are broken. Your mind is broken. Your flesh is fallen. It's corrupt. Your mind is corrupt. And so you need an infusion of something that comes from another world. You need a spirit that comes down on the inside, like the Spirit of God hovered over creation in the beginning. You need God to brood over you, to hover over you, because your human emotions are broken and your mind is broken. The natural mind, the Bible says, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Because of the fall, your thoughts are broken. And so that's why you have that thread of negative thoughts that runs through your head. I'm nobody. If I just had more money, if I came from a better place, and you begin to itemize all the reasons you can't be something for God, and that's all a part of the fall. But when you come into the house of God, we believe that God wants to overshadow every person. We believe that God wants to fill everybody with His Spirit. And when the Spirit of God begins to overshadow you, something begins to happen down on the inside, where those bad emotions are stored and where those negative thoughts are stored. The Spirit of God begins to move on the inside of you, and God begins to set you free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. He'll change the way you talk. He'll change the way you walk. He'll change the way you dress. He'll put a new mind and a new spirit down on the inside of you. And now you're going back into a world with a new language. You're coming back into the world with a new way of living and a new expectation. And now you can go into your family and you can begin to affect change. They're bound up in sin. They're bound up in negativity. But something happens on the inside of you. You have been revived. You have been born again. And now you are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new way of feeling. And now you're going back into the world like Abraham, blessed to be a blessing, walking up and down in the land. And everywhere you put God, you put your foot, God is giving you dominion over the world. Praise God. This process happens for people in the Word of God. They begin to go out into their world, and now they have a new language, and now they have a new way of talking, and now they're going out into their world, and there is a boldness, there is a transformation. I'm just telling you, you need the Holy Ghost tonight. You may say, well, I don't know about the Holy Ghost. I've never received the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. And John said, when you receive the Spirit of God, you receive power to become the sons of God. And I'm here to tell you, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak in a language you've never learned before. You're going to speak in a language that you don't even understand. It's the language of heaven, because your tongue is the most unruly member of your body. It's like the rudder, Paul said, of a great ship. If you want to turn the ship, you got to use the rudder. And the word of God tells us that when you receive the Spirit of God, it's going to control the tongue. You say, what am I saying? What you're saying when you're speaking another language is you're prophesying those things you don't even know as though they were. You're speaking the reality of God into the world. When they received the Holy Ghost, they started to prophesy. They started to praise God, and they began to speak the glorious works of God. But after you start to speak that new language, after you begin to prophesy, after you begin to teach Bible studies, after you begin to speak to your family, there will be, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. When you begin to speak that language, when you begin to prophesy, when you begin to speak in tongues, there will be a resistant force in the earth that will try to silence the word of God in your life. That the greatest adversary you're going to face in your walk with God is looking at you in the mirror. The natural mind will begin to talk to you, and the natural mind will begin to bind you up. Help me out. You are your greatest adversary. Your natural mind, your human, just the hands. I don't want to be, I can't be that restricted. I can't talk. There we go. Thank you. Help me with this, man. I just need that somewhere where I can, there you go. Yeah. Perfect. Ball. As you begin to speak this prophecy, as you begin to exercise dominion in your world, there will invariably be a force in your life that will come in, beginning with your own flesh. Right now, there are people who say, you know what, I've never heard of this Holy Ghost business, and I've never received it before, and it sounds strange to me. Yes, but there's also something down on the inside of you that keeps pulling you back to the house of God. You say, I don't know how to explain it theologically, but when I come here, I feel something. Yeah, that's the Holy Ghost. And your flesh wants to bind you up. Your adversary wants to bind you up. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what kind of bindings the adversary puts on you. God is here to unloose the binding. God is here to break you out. Stephen was a man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, full of knowledge, full of power. And when the time came to find an anointed person to do the work of ministry, they went and found Stephen. As he is teaching and preaching, the religious leaders in Israel came to him to oppose him. And he was so full of the Holy Ghost. Was he an experienced minister? No, he wasn't an experienced minister. But Brother Kadarius, when you get the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter how much experience you have, because that's the Ancient of Days living down on the inside of you. That's the old spirit of the preacher. And they could not contend with him. So they put ropes on his hands. Because invariably, if you do the work of ministry, if you teach Bible studies, if you believe in the prophecy, and if you articulate it, at some point in your life, some force in your life is going to rise up. Family, Sister Jackie, family will tell you, what are you doing? That's a cult. Why do you act like that? And try to restrict you in praise and worship. I'm telling you that the denominational Christianity will try to bind up your experience by saying the Holy Ghost isn't for heart today anymore. The devil is a liar. Come on. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions, and your you can put the chains on my hands. You can put the ropes on my feet. But you can't stop the message from going forth. Sometimes you've got to preach bound up. Sometimes you've got to teach the Bible study bound up. Sometimes you have to do the work of ministry with the restrictions in place. They came to Jesus. They came to God manifest in the flesh. They could not resist the arguments. He said, I was with you in the synagogues. We were talking just like normal people. But why did you come to my prayer closet? Why did you come to a consecrated place? Why did you come to restrict me? Why did you come to oppose me? And they bound up God. How many religions today are binding up what God wants to do in the earth? How many experiences out in the world are binding up the work of the Holy Ghost? Binding up freedom that comes with truth preaching. They bound up the Messiah and they led him to Caiaphas. And so Jesus goes to Caiaphas, bound. Jesus goes to Pilate's hall, bound up. Jesus faces betrayal, bound up. Jesus faces resistance, bound. But did the bindings restrict the message? No, sir. No, man. Because you can't stop what the Holy Ghost is doing. You can't silence what the Word of God is doing. You can put it in prison, but you can't imprison the message. You can burn it at the stake, but you can't silence Calvary. You can't stop the gospel. Joseph, betrayed of his brothers. Joseph lied on. Joseph is taken advantage of. Joseph is misunderstood. His brothers come. He has a dream. But the dream is bigger than the life of the dreamer. The sun and the moon and the stars are going to bow down to you. I don't even know what that means if I'm Joseph. I just know that it's a dream from God. And they bind him up and they cast him into a pit. But they can't bind the dream. They can only bind the dreamer. And so the dreamer is walking into the pit bound. They have a better idea. Reuben's going to rescue him. They say, I tell you what we'll do. We'll take him out of the pit. And we'll sell him to the Ishmaelites. So they pull him out of the pit with his hands bound. They pull him out of the pit, shackled up. But the dream is still alive. The dream is free, bouncing around in that God-shaped void in his head. That dream is free, bouncing around in that God-shaped void in his spirit. Restricted and bound. He comes out. He looks like a prisoner. He looks like an imprisoned man who is taken advantage of by his circumstance. And he's walking toward Egypt, bound. He's walking toward. He's walking toward. An imprisoned existence. He's walking toward a prison. He's bound. He's walking toward Pharaoh's house. And he's bound. But Potiphar's wife, with her bindings on his wrist, cannot restrict the dream. And the prison cannot restrict the dream. And the prisoners forgetting about Joseph cannot restrict the dream, because there's something on the inside of him that is more indomitable than any political problem. And there's something down on, there is a God dream living on the inside of him. And this is the deal. Because the dream is bigger than the bindings. He does not allow the bindings to restrict his ministry. What does Jesus do before Pilate? What does Jesus do when he's hanging on the cross? The bindings don't restrict the ministry. What does he do? He teaches bound. He preaches bound. He ministers bound. Because there are some things that will never flow out of your life until the bindings are put on. There are some things in your life that will never flow. There is a level of anointing that cannot come until the bindings are placed upon you. What did Paul say? Paul said, I am a prisoner of the Lord. So many times, the people of God face adversity and face resistance and face trouble. And we think the persecution is hindering what God wants to do in my life. The adversity is hindering what God wants to do in my life. But you have to reach a place of maturity in living for God where you are willing to preach the gospel with the bindings on your wrist. That's what the call of God does. The call of God presses itself down on you and it wraps itself around you and you walk into your world. I can't escape it. I can't escape the bindings. And so Stephen preaches one of the most beautiful sermons in your entire Bible in Acts chapter 7. And he preaches bound. And as he looks at the multitude around him, he had reason to be offended. He had reason to fight back. He had reason to walk away from his calling. And if he had walked away and if he had denied Christ, the bindings would have come off. But he preached bound. How do you get a love, an agape love, that is a transcendent love? How do you learn to love your enemies? By articulating the prophecy that God has put down inside of you while life is restricting you. By refusing to walk away from ministry because the people that you're ministering to have talked about you. By refusing to walk away from ministry because people misunderstand you. By refusing to walk away from the calling of God because the very people that you're ministering to are the ones that have stabbed you in the back and don't understand. What do you do when the whole world's coming against you and they've wrapped their web around you? You continue to articulate the vision of God while you're bound up. Something begins to flow when you preach bound. When you worship bound. How do you? I don't have the freedom of my limbs. My feet are bound. My hands are bound. When you can pull a soul.
song out of the depths of your soul when you can't even exercise personal liberty. Something begins to be born down on the inside of you that causes anointing to flow into your life that has the power, while you are bound, to begin to loose the prison doors of your adversary, of everybody that talked about you, of everybody that misunderstood you, of everybody that tried to lock you up.
Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lamak sabathani." On the cross, restricted by the nails, he said, "John, your mother, Mary, your son." He looked up to heaven and he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they are doing." He prayed that prayer while he preached, bound. Stephen looked up to heaven and he got a fresh revelation while he preached one of the greatest sermons. He preached to him bound. And he said, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." Where does that love come from? Where does that anointing come from? It's not a human love. It's not a love that can be manipulated, but it's a love that flows out of a life that said, "I don't care what kind of human restrictions have been placed upon me. I don't care how much they don't understand me. I'm willing to continue to be faithful to the prophecy while bound." Joseph, after ministering to Potiphar and ministering to the prisoners and ministering to the jailer, ministering and being forgotten and being misunderstood, he stands before his brethren and he weeps for the Terrell, and he hangs on to them, and he cries with them, and he embraces them, and they are afraid for their life. But he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Where do you get that revelation? Where do you get that power? Where do you get that understanding, that anointing? It's a place you're only going to get to if you can continue to minister while you're bound. God told Moses, he said, "Step back. Let me kill them. I'll start over. I'll make a new people." "I can do this, Moses, with you and not take these people. You don't have to be bound to these people, Moses." And Moses says, "No, I started with them, God. I'm gonna finish with them because they're your people. And I'm not going to allow the heathen to say God abandoned his people in the wilderness." Because God, what you want to do is bigger than me. It's bigger than my feelings. It's bigger than my emotions. It's bigger than what I think people are saying about me. It's bigger than a mind filled with a bunch of broken ideas that come from insecurity and dysfunction, God. I'm willing to be bound, inextricably linked together with the people of God. Anyway, God, there's a man by the name of Joshua that's going to take it on from here. He's going to take the people of God into the promised land. And so Moses died without seeing the land, because Moses, he sees it in vision, but he doesn't see it in reality, because Moses is willing to be bound together to the calling and the plan of God for his life. Preaching bound. That's where the anointing comes. If there was ever a need, if there was ever a point in the church where the church needed to learn to forgive. It's a day just like this, to not allow fractious behavior in the church, to not allow division in the church, to not allow things to rise up that separate you from the people of God. If God ever needed a people that was willing to embrace the bindings. Brother Terrell, you're my brother. You're my brother. We've got work to do. I don't have time for anything to come in between us. If our God and Savior could bind himself to his people and say no amount of pressure or resistance or adversity, no amount of shame or public ridicule or persecution can separate me from my love for my people, is there a church that's willing to say, God, I'll go the extra mile. God, I'm willing to love my enemy. God, I'm willing to allow the bindings of public ridicule. Let's all stand. It's not even 8 o'clock yet. Praise God. Praise God. If you have something that's between you and a brother or sister, if you have some ought, or if you have some division between you, we're going to make it right here tonight, because I believe God's ready to take us to some places we've never been before. I'm just telling you, we're going to need every hand on deck. We're going to need the people of God to be unified. We're going to need oneness in mind, in body, in spirit. We're going to need to be connected together to the people of God to have revival in this day. God wants to put something down on the inside of you tonight that emboldens you to walk in victory and power and anointing. I want to do something for just a moment. I want to lift every hand. I want to lift every hand. And I want to close every eye. And I want to begin to pray right now. If there's anything down on the inside of your heart or your mind or your spirit, somebody's tried to shake off the bindings. It hurts too bad, God. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they treated me. You don't know what they said about me, God. There are people here tonight that you've been in hiding because of something that somebody said, because of some fracture in your relationship, and you're hiding emotionally, and you're shrugging off the calling of God in your life because you say it's not worth it. I want to pray a prayer of repentance right now all over this house. Let's all pray. God, I pray that you would wash this house. Come on, everybody, pray. God, I pray that you would purge us, oh Lord. I pray that you would cleanse us, oh God. I pray that you would give us a new heart, Lord. I pray that you would give us a new mind and a new spirit, God. Cleanse us, God. Cleanse us, oh God. Come on, everybody praying. Cleanse us, oh God. From every imagination, God. Every false narrative. Tobo satarabahaka. Come on, why don't you reach over and take somebody by the hand right now and pray a prayer of repentance. God, I pray that you would wash us, Lord. Cleanse us, God, from fear. Cleanse us from doubt, oh God. Cleanse us from insecurity, God. Cleanse us from everything that hinders, oh Lord, us being used in your kingdom, oh God. I'm willing to be bound to the people of God. I'm willing to be bound to the body of Christ. I'm willing to be bound to a calling, God. Come on, press in right now. Press into that prayer right now.
Oh, masanda rakia rabasondolosi. That's the paradox of preaching bound, because the one bound up is the one trying to set others free. Come on, you may be bound by your calling. You may feel restricted, but there are people around you that need the freedom of really being set free. Come on, let that anointing flow out of you right now. Come on, you might step out of your pew and go and find somebody to link up with in this place. Go and find somebody to connect with. Go and find somebody to pray with. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Go and find somebody to pray with. Come on, that's it. That's it. That's it. Let the Spirit of God flow through you. That's it. Let the power of God flow through you. That's it. Let the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Victory in this place.
Devil thought he had me.
Devil thought he had me.
He thought I was dead.
He thought that I would give up and never dance
the
again.
The devil thought he
devil
had
thought
me.
Had me. He thought
no, I devil, I'm not buying it. That's the people of God. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's my calling.
He thought I was dead.
The devil thought he had.
Go ahead and try to bind me, but you can't stop my praise. Go ahead and try to bind me, but you can't stop my preaching.
My God.
My God.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
My God,
yeah, yeah. Say,
my God,
He picked me up and turned me around. My God,
you can't stop my praise. You can't stop my ministry.
My God.
Shake yourself. Somebody shake off the depression. Shake off the anxiety. Shake off the bitterness. Shake off the unforgiveness.
He thought that I would give up and never necessarily.
Tell him on
he thought I was dead.
God wants to save my city. God wants to pour out revival. He wants to pour out his spirit.
He thought that I would give up and never necessarily.
Tell him on
unleash the prophecy. Somebody begin to speak in faith.
My God.
Oh my God, oh make a way. With the seams, there'll be no way.
My God.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Oh no,
my
no,
God.
No, no, no. My God will make a way. He'll make a way.
He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again. Devil thought he had me. He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
The devil thought he had me.
He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
He hit me with his best shot. He thought I was dead.
He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
The devil thought he had me.
He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
The devil thought he had me.
I'm
free. I'm free.
My God.
I'm free.
My God. My God.
This victory, victory found in Jesus.
My God.
Seems to be the
way. Oh, God.
He'll bring you out of your darkness into marvelous light.
My God.
Yeah.
My God. My God. Devil thought he had me. He thought I was dead.
He thought
that I would give up and never dance again. Devil thought he had me. He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
Devil thought he had me.
He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
Devil thought he had me.
He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never
dance again. Come on, find you a dancing partner.
Devil thought he had me.
He thought he bound me up. He thought he would silence my praise. He thought he would silence my prophecy. But look at God.
My God. My God.
The prophecy's too big. It's too big. The word from God is too big. The devil wants to bind it up. But somebody needs to tell the devil, you can't have my prophecy. You can't have my revival. You can't have my family. You can't have my increase. There's an Apostle Paul in the crowd waiting for somebody to preach bound up. There's a thief on the cross waiting for somebody to preach forgiveness while being crucified. And drive the nails, but you can't have my prophecy. Go ahead and bind me up, but you can't have my ministry. What to weapon in?
He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
Devil thought he had me. He thought I was dead.
But
he thought I would give up and never dance again.
But
devil thought he had me. He thought I was dead.
But
he
God.
Thought that I would give up and never dance again.
But
devil thought he had me. He thought I was dead.
But
he
God.
Thought that I would give up and never dance again. Devil thought he had me. He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
There's a bad God in the house tonight. Why don't you go ahead and give him some praise? Why don't you look back where God brought you from? Go ahead and give him praise. Magnify his name.
Devil thought he had me. He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
Devil thought,
devil thought he had
he
me.
Thought,
he thought I was dead.
He thought wrong.
He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
Devil,
devil thought he had
he
me.
Thought,
he thought I was dead.
Lord.
He thought that I would give up and never dance again. Devil thought he had me. He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
But God, but God.
But God.
Everybody, 3 weeks ago, I lost my job. But a month before that, I was driving down Highway 79. God said, I want you to pull over into that business, and I want you to pray. So I pulled my truck over, and I began to pray in that parking lot. A month later, I lost my job. I lost my truck. I lost my phone. I lost any way of making money. 48 hours later, there was a but God. I had a car to drive. I had a phone to call on. I had a job meeting in the morning. That's my but God tonight. That's my testimony. So why don't you go ahead and give him praise for your but God.
The devil thought he had me. He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
Devil thought he had me.
He thought I was dead. He thought that I would give up and never dance again.
But God.
Devil thought he had me.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. In January of 2020. In January of 2020. A virus called COVID came. And sent the church into sequestration. Sent the church into hiding. Sent the church into a place where we didn't know what was going to happen. But I've got news for the devil. Everything, I don't know if it came from God or if it came from the devil or whomever. But I'll tell you this. There was a pathology that came down and gripped people's hearts and imaginations. There was a feeling of restriction on the church. But I'm looking at a people tonight, 2 years later, that say, yeah, we may have been pushed back. We may have gone to the house waiting to see what was going to happen. But we're back. We're back and ready for revival. We're back and ready to see what God is going to do. Somebody praise him. Somebody magnify Jesus. Somebody lift him up. Praise God. Let's go eat. Brother Terrell, pray over the food.
Mighty God, we love you. We praise you. Please bless this food for the nourishment of our minds and the strength of our bodies. We say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.